Welcome back, guys. TGS on KMOX. Tomorrow is a one-hour show for us because there is a 3:10 game, right, Wheels?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then we're off on Thursday for opening day. Hopefully, see you guys there. I'll be there for Kegs and Eggs, although they've invited me to not broadcast. And so
you're just there to have fun and eat.
I'm just there to eat kegs and eggs. And maybe see you at the game. Please say hi if you see me and recognize me. I'm the one with all the tattoos. We have Megan Shackelford here and David Barklage. We're just talking about the elections today. So let's start with that. Nothing giant, nothing earth-shattering, but these are, you know, this is what we spend every Tuesday talking about, are things that motivate people to go to elections. So what are the what's on the ballot today, Dave?
Well, Megan's probably better about this. There's a lot of school boards. There's some bond issues. We were just talking about MSD's bond issue. I don't have great hope in it passing, and I think it's a major boondoggle, but that's just my opinion.
And what are they looking for?
They are trying to fund, effectively fund, it's going to be a huge cost increase, two plants that are going to burn or handle waste sludge, among other things. And those two plants, there were some alternatives that I think they could have used for a lot less. The project was originally bid at like $300 million, and now it's close to $1 billion on a design build. And it's going to be like a 80% increase in everybody's city and county's residents' bills at the end of it.
So my understanding is that that's a part of it. The bigger component is that it's part of the consent decree.
Correct.
From the EPA from a very long time ago. I worked on the first campaign where this consent decree had become final, and it's, you have to do this work. Your system is aging. In downtown St. Louis, there's still wooden sewer pipes underneath us, which is like pretty wild to consider. And so it's what most sewer systems and most areas in the country have experienced. We kind of ignore the not so sexy parts of our infrastructure.
And wastewater and stormwater separating those two.
Yes. And so an MSD currently doesn't have a system of funding for stormwater. So I thought it was very interesting that we had this big storm and people experienced flooding last night. That's because we actually don't have a system to deal with stormwater. It just kind of goes in with everything else and then gets separated. But as we've seen over the last few years, we have some flooding issues in parts of St. Louis. Shocking, you know, we live by rivers and decided to build stuff in floodplains and all these really smart things.
And Megan's right. I mean, part of that dissent decree, the stuff that she did was, you know, right on. It was necessary.
And the bonding, what it does is says, we're going to bond this. And so, yeah, we're all paying for it. But instead of your bill going up, I'm making this number up right now, $75 today, it's going to go up slowly over time, right? It's just a way to ease the rate, the monthly rates that the average person pays, particularly people on a fixed income. You know, doubling one of your utility bills could be really damaging, but, right? So bonding's a fairer and an easier way sometimes to deal with big projects like that.
And she's right. The caveat from a Republican perspective is that your only choice is either to pay it
Cash or bonding.
And to that regard, I take an exception that they can dictate to users that you're either going to have to pay one or the other. You can choose which one, but you still have a major increase either way and have no say over some of the choices we've made. And the proposal that she had worked on a few years ago was a good, solid proposal. It was passed. They did a super job on it. This new one is where I've had objection because of overages in construction, design, and build. They were rushing to it. They didn't look at options. Would have been they scaled back most of the environmental improvements that it wouldn't have been with it. And the worst thing is there's these forever chemicals that we've become more aware of lately that are going to be going up and going to be incinerated, and they are over two neighborhoods. So the potential that there will be accumulation of these chemicals over residences are and should be an environmental concern. No one wants to address them yet because they don't know how, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to exist, they're not going to cause cancer, and they're going over neighborhoods, and no one knows the fallout.
So basically, we're paying the piper because we waited too long, and we got wooden poop chutes. That's kind of what we're looking at. So we got to pay it.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, MSD is a semi-governmental group, a utility, for lack of a better word. That's how most people think about it, but it's not a private company, right? So it's governed by our elected regional leaderships, appoint people to serve on this board. So you can go to their website. You can learn way more than you ever thought you could or would want to know about how the sewer system works, how it's supposed to work, where we're at, what all of these projects are, and how they improve the system. But I always like to remind people, when I first started working on a campaign for them years ago, I've worked on a few, I was like, you know, this is the basis of civilization.
Sure.
Figuring out how to get rid of your waste is one of the most important things we do as a community. And if that system's not working, you might be in trouble.
If we talk too much more on it, you're going to lose viewership or listenership. Excuse me.
Or gain. Sorry about some that. Really
yes,
weirdos.
Yes.
Yep.
So when you guys talk about school board elections, those used to be the most nothing. Who cares? Mm. Gladys Kravitz, get in there. We don't give a crap. You make nice cherry pie, whatever. Now, this is sort of the battleground for kind of identity politics,
look,
isn't it?
My big objection to politics, and I doubt Megan will have a disagreement, is everybody wants to be in Congress, whether you're on the school board, the city council, or anything else. In years ago, the Lions Club, Rotary Club, JCs, that generation populated these boards, and they were community-minded. They weren't particularly partisan. In fact, you probably, if you were known as the Republican or Democrat in the room, you were probably not going to be their first choice. And so those kinds of people populate all these boards. Now that we have sort of the joiners of the greatest generation are gone, and everybody in our generation is, well, I'm going to take my kids to 7 soccer deals. No one's being involved. And so that space is being filled in by all these partisans. And if you look at it, the city's plight, the county's plight, so many, even the state legislators' plight, they are all ideologues debating things that are social issues rather than concrete and schools and the basic things. And that's going to be a crisis that I think will create a turning point to maybe force the more centrists that are care about building schools and roads and governance back into it. Because at some point, there's going to be too many potholes, too many kids flunking out, and too many things going wrong that people won't demand that accountability.
I think that's so right. I was talking with some family over the Easter weekend who aren't particularly political. And they're like, how? They vote, but they're like, how do you do this? This is so obnoxious. And I'm like, it has gotten worse. Everybody seems more interested in building their brand and their potential celebrity with their social media platforms, getting a book deal, having a podcast. Whatever that looks like to them is the end goal, not the public service that you've signed up to do, right? And so it's kind of the afterthought. And so I think people see these local races that have a pretty easy threshold to get in. They're not super expensive campaigns. They've kind of gone that way, but they don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And they see an opportunity to make a crazy video and go viral or say something wild that's going to get them attention that may allow them to climb the ladder and get more attention and maybe make some money.
Real question, not trying to be shock jockey, real question because I don't know the answer. How smart do you need to be, should you be, to be like at a state rep or Senate level?
It's not intelligence. It's desire. I mean, you have people, it's not that they're not smart, but they are so blinded by these partisan or ideological deals. It drives them crazy. It drives them, you know, to focus all of their politics on identity politics or whatever the hell it is, rather than the more boring things about bonding costs, sewers, you know, water retention, things like that. They don't care about it anymore.
Yeah.
You can go to the legislature and you don't find the bills, the substantive policies that are going to reform education or mental health or different things. Everybody's just on that Twitter policy. Yeah. I want a one-line policy that's going to fire my
people
up.
We were just discussing that, and I was saying that I really wish that this were Mitt Romney versus Biden. Everyone knows I don't like Donald Trump, but I think they trust me enough to know that I'm honest about these kinds of things. It's less because, oh, I hate Donald Trump and I can't see his face for another 4 years. It's because we're never going to talk policy in this election. And if it were Romney Biden, we would be forced to because they're both so boring.
Well, and I think you actually that the presidential election makes the same case that we're talking about with these lower level, you know, races, which what I look at is not your intelligence. I think your experience does matter. But do you actually like people? Do you actually like people? If you actually dislike strongly half the population, you have no business, in my opinion, seeking elected office, right? If you really have no empathy, you cannot even see other people as human beings, you probably shouldn't run for office. You're not going to do a good job. And so those types of things, do you have common sense? Can you disagree politely with others? Like, those things are way more important than what degree you have or what you've done as your background. Do you know how to interact with other humans? I mean, it's not that complicated, but Trump doesn't have it. And a lot of these people in the state legislature don't have it either.
Jeff Rainford said something to me the other day. He said, Democrats love groups and hate individuals. Republicans love individuals and hate groups. And to that regard, it's not about these people hating, but we are finding that there is a psychology that frames people as either liberal or conservative, their thought process. And it's fascinating that we're starting to learn that certain types of personalities are drawn to certain ideological preferences. But with that being said, is that because we have ceded the middle ground, because the business community is not what it used to be. There's a small group of upper middle class, very little middle class left, and those upper middle class have their vacation homes, their 8 soccer clubs, and they don't get involved. And so there's no one driving the middle. The people that are driven, the people get up every morning convinced that they need to put their aluminum hat on, are convinced that they need to go, you know, right some wrong that happened 500 years ago. Mm-hmm. And those, their passion is carrying them into bullying everybody else out. And they're just completely self-aware is what I would say. I don't think they mean harm or mean to be mean. Yeah. They're so self-aware of what they're doing to other people and what they're causing because of their passion, and that is the destructive nature of both sides.
So watching it happen, let's just take Jefferson City, for example. Watching it happen in Jefferson City, it seems that they only really use policy to carry out their vendettas. Would that be because that approach works, or do you think, and back to kind of the intelligence thing, that maybe they don't understand the policy as well as they should, and they kind of fake it, and they run around their backhand by just being mean to each other?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think some people lack the ability to think long-term about big implications 5, 10, 15 years down the road of certain policies. So I think there is a lack sometimes of just thought that goes into some of these policies. But I think Dave and I will agree on this. I think what's really changed the motivation for certain policies is the system of our primary system. People have to do the furthest to the left or right thing to win the first level so they can get to the next level and run in the general election in November. And so that motivation kind of overcomes what should be common sense or should be consensus building, because we're not rewarding people for working across the aisle really anymore.
How long has it been?
In some circumstances, we have rewarded people who have actually accomplished something. Yeah. But those are the people who fly under the radar, and they're not these people who are constantly seeking higher office.
How long has it been, either of you, since you put together an ad that said, Kevin Wheeler knows how to reach across the aisle?
Well, actually, I just actually wrote something on that, and a few years ago, I think that was a really effective message on a campaign I worked on. So I think,
Megan wrote it because she's probably hopeful. I don't know if the poll numbers would support it, but the fact that you did it is, you know.
Well, I think what I see in poll numbers is that people still do care about the same things. If you ask them directly, they've always cared about. They care about public safety. They care about education. They care about being able to afford health care and provide for their families. Those are not, we all care about that. That's actually not a partisan question. It's what path do you take to get to those three things that becomes the partisan question.
We've created for politicians a communication system that's sort of the hot mic. It is with social media and everything. These politicians believe they're in a different world. I mean, they actually believe that Twitter is the real world and that they're talking to their 50 people that affirm them, that worship them for saying the most outrageous things is what feeds them. And that's the scary thing, is that politicians are into this whole of social media, digital media, and a very narrow realm that's been created by corporations, by partisan interests, by political interests. And the politicians fall in it. So when they're doing these things, they think everybody's listening. I would argue the fair majority is silent on it because they just don't. Their day is not good enough for them to engage in such hate speech or such partisan or such visceral politics.
Let's take a break so we have a little time on the other side. 425 DGS, David Barklage, Megan Shackelford. So not a lot of time, but I found the meeting between our buddy Steve Ellman and Tashara Jones and many others who just looked uncomfortable was very interesting, because Steve was basically saying, hey, with all due respect, Madam Mayor, you need to do X, Y, and Z to help out the city. And she's saying, well, with all due respect to you, why don't you kiss my ass, because you have nothing to do with the city. I do, so shut up.
Are you trying to get us fighting? Because I got to tell you, not Megan, but I mean, is that the city refuses to acknowledge the fact that as the city, as the lion of the valley, whatever you want to call it, what it does impacts the entire region. Its reputation, its handling of crime, everything else affects everybody else. Yet they seem to singularly refuse to take any responsibility for anything bad that causes the region or down. And to that regard, Tashara fails as a giant F in leadership. I know that's not anything you can say, but my point is on crime, you look at who's filling the jails in these other counties, things like that. It's not a racial thing. It's nothing else. It's the failure of St. Louis to do its job, and it impacts everybody around. Everybody's pointed out crime statistics are going down. My view is, how do we know? Because by the time you've got, they don't pick up the phone. When they do pick up the phone, maybe no one comes. And unless someone comes, unless someone does a report, all those things, we don't even know the figures. Last year, they left a month out. I mean, I'm just saying is that you can't even have a credible debate either direction of what crime is doing because we don't even have good information. And it seems the mayor is fine with that.
So there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I think, one, the views on regionalism go all ways. If we want to be a region, we all have to acknowledge each other's presence, our weaknesses, our strengths, the areas we need to improve. I don't think there should be any question about that. That's just a given. Now, do I think if you want to have a productive relationship and truly address some of these issues which do not care about boundaries, crime is not just the city's problem. Crime exists in St. Charles County organically in St. Louis County. Then maybe the way it was approached was not the best way, right? That's more of a performance sure. than an actual working conversation to have some real plans in place to work together. So that's one thing. Quick anecdote about the region. I am at my daughter's preschool. It's in the city. One of the moms jokes, sorry, Barrett's invited to Lola's birthday party and it's out in Chesterfield. I know nobody wants to go all the way out there. And we all had a good laugh because we choose to live in the city because we like the grit. We like the walkability. We like the neighborhoods. We like the parks. We love that. We also know Chesterfield needs to exist because we don't want a giant gymnastics warehouse in the middle of our beautiful historic neighborhood. So I'm going to grin and bear it, and I'm going to laugh, and I'm going to drive out to Chesterfield and be grateful that I'm going there to go to that monstrosity and not down the street from my house.
I find it so funny.
That's the way to approach the region. We all have something to offer. We should work together instead of always, always blaming
each
other.
But I want to ask you, St. Louis, very quickly. I'm from Cape Girardeau. Driving to Sykeson for lunch or something is no big deal. Here, I dated a girl, and if you wanted to go past south of Watson, north of Olive, or west of Lindbergh, it was like a day trip.
Oh, yeah. So, I am that person. Yeah. I am that person. I rarely venture five miles from
my home. What is that? Is that a St. Louis thing?
I'm not even from St. Louis. I just love it. I love that everything I need is where I chose to live, and everything I want to enjoy is here, and sometimes I have to go out. I mainly do it when I have to drive to visit my parents in a different part of the state, but I will do it for my daughter's
birthday. Thank you for having us today.
You're welcome. Really appreciate it. Thank you, guys.